About the viability of the program. The attraction of this program is that it essentially expects, trains these students, gets them into the academy within Illinois to support and increase the diversity of our faculty within Illinois. In the next slide, I just want to tell you what the a student's perspective is in terms of getting a DFI fellowship. So Lizette Roberti got her master's from Northwestern University, and UIC managed to recruit her as a bioengineer with a specialization in biomechanics. She says about the DFI program that it let me make key connections with faculty in a way I wouldn't have had just as an anonymous student. My peers, other fellows in particular, gave me the encouragement and help to continue. It really is about motivation. So here's a young woman who's in bioengineering and specializing in biomechanics. And this answers, Trustee Kennedy, your earlier question about professional students. A lot of students are attracted to go into the professions and don't realize the value of other aspects of graduate education, like regular PhD programs. This young lady worked with the Urban Health Program, about which you'll hear in a minute. And she worked as a peer mentor in the Urban Health Program. And what she said about the Urban Health Program is the kids are very excited, but they only think about being a doctor. I want them to know the tremendous variety in the medical field. So one of the things that you can do with programs like this is not only do these students benefit from it, but they also have the ability to mentor others. And finally, in the last slide, for U of I to continue to be the university of choice, we need to ensure a diverse undergraduate student body to fill the pipeline. We need to have innovative recruitment strategies. We need to continue to create a sustained and inclusive environment where diversity is core to our mission. And we need to provide mentoring and training for all of our students so they can be competitive future leaders of the academy. I'm ready to answer questions, or if not, I would like to invite Dr. Michael Toney, who is the head of the Urban Health Program, which tells you about what is being done in the health science colleges in terms of promoting diversity.
I have one question.
Sure.
One of the speakers during the public comment session spoke about her ACT score as being a challenge to entree into the university. How important is the ACT score in determining whether or not someone is admitted to one of the three campus programs, and how important is it to receiving scholarship support?
Are you talking about graduate programs?
No.
Undergraduate programs. The scores that are set are very often, the standards are set by the individual campus and by the individual programs within the campus. They are publicized on some of the websites. For example, Urbana has a very clear-cut table on what the average ACT scores that they expect of their students. In the Chicago campus, and I'm going to let Chancellor Alan Mears answer the specifics for the undergraduate. I believe, again, it's set on the individual college basis. And I believe a lot of the applications are also individually read. So in addition to looking at, it's just not classified at the basis only of ACT scores or only of class ranks. It's a combination of class rank, ACT scores, and I believe right now a lot of the individual applications are read. So your college essay is also read. But for the grad, it's much more personalized also for graduate applications. Those are a totally different set of criteria.
We take into consideration many indicators, including the ACT score. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes.
And,
it's one.
And it's one variable of many. So it's a very comprehensive analysis of a student's
presumably,
profile.
Given our educational assets, we could provide ACT training during the junior year of identified
absolutely
high school kids, and perhaps, I mean, it's probably very easy to get a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 point pop from that area, like
and
from
many,
an 18 to a 22 is probably
and many high school students do prepare and prep up for the exam. It's quite a part of the ritual, and I write.
Yeah. It's an expensive part, however.
My,
yeah.
It's an expensive
here
part.
It's expensive.
May I say something? I know that many components are factored into the admission policy, but there is a belief out there that you have to have a 25 to get into UIC. And I know that's not so, but we may need to do a better job. But most of the students who are admitted, and I know that in talking to some of the deans that, you know, the different scores, they look at scores. And just take, let's take LAS. I think the score would be 18, maybe 17.
I think it's 18. 18, for
18. 18. 18.
I think for the college, Michael, for the college of LAS, it's 18?
18.
Okay, two Michaels.
Two Michaels.
Okay. For the college of LAS, it's 18.
And they're both Michael T's.
So
both
I think that what the students are dealing with is the fact that some of them may have a 17 ACT, and they are feeling that that is keeping them out of getting into college that they of their choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your suggestion is that we need to make certain that we publicize the comprehensive aspect of our admissions process.
Correct.
And what criteria feed into that decision.
And I would also suggest that we try and figure out a way to accommodate people like the young lady who spoke, who obviously has the capability of doing excellent college work, but whose SAT score did not reflect that. And I think that we've got to serve those people too.
You know, it's not their fault that they go to schools that don't work. It's
say
not
it again,
their
no?
fault. It's not their fault that they go to schools that don't work. So we have to help these students get into these schools. It's very important that we support
them. Yeah, I agree. It is that and other factors. But, you know, the bottom line is that you'll always hear me speaking about this because I could never get in this university with the scores I had back in the day.
There are many of
Thank
us
you.
Who identify with your place.
Good.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead, Mina.
If there are no more questions on general graduate education and diversity, I'd like to invite Dr. Michael Toney, Director of the Urban Health Program.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairman Kennedy, President Eikenberry, entire Board of Trustees, as well as Chancellor Paula Mears, Provost Michael Tanner, Mina, of course, and Lon Kaufman, who is not here, to share with you information about the Urban Health Program, a program that I'm quite passionate about. The Urban Health Program, I think the best way to introduce it is to start with the mission, which strives to recruit, retain, and graduate underrepresented racial, ethnic, minority students, African American, Latino, and Native American students into the health profession, and thereby expand the educational opportunities for students throughout the pipeline. We begin working with students as early as kindergarten through 12th grade through our early outreach program. It's important to understand the historical context of the Urban Health Program. It started off through community protests from residents from the south and west sides of Chicago that was very dissatisfied with the lack of health care. In response to that, the General Assembly decided to expand on an already successful program in the College of Medicine, which was known as the Medical Opportunities Program, that focused on the recruitment of underrepresented students into the medical school, to expand on that program to include all six of the health sciences colleges. Colleges of Applied Health Sciences, Dentistry, Medicine, Nursing, Public Health, Pharmacy, as well as the Graduate College. The program was very, very well received. It had, at the very beginning, a number of community people involved to make sure that the university was always going to support the efforts of the community. I should point out that the Urban Health Program exists throughout the university system through the College of Medicine. We have satellite programs in Urbana, Rockford, Peoria. Also, we have a nursing program in Urbana as well. Some of the key features of the Urban Health Program is that it is a cross-curricular program. As I had mentioned, it expands all six of the health sciences colleges. And it's truly a collaborative effort. One thing that the administrative office does is provide support, coordinating efforts, making sure that there's resources that are shared. Also, it's important to note that the early outreach program, as I mentioned, was one of the first initiatives to really offer a P20 educational model. You hear a lot these days in the state of Illinois and throughout the nation, the emphasis on P20. Well, the urban health program was involved in that 30 years ago. One of the other important things about the urban health program is that we have a 99% retention rate for UHP professional graduate students. That's truly remarkable. I want to say that again, 99% retention rate for all UHP professional graduate student programs. I was at a meeting several weeks ago in Washington, D.C. at the Urban Servant Universities Conference, and I was very proud when we compared the data of our graduates. We have, as of last month, when you look at the 2010 official graduation data, we've graduated over 5,000 UHP students in the health professions on this campus. And so we're extremely proud of that track record. Next slide. Here is a slide that shows you truly how collaborative our operations are. It involves many people, many organizations, both internal as well as external. I've already mentioned the UHP presence in each of the health sciences colleges and the collaborative work of those colleges. We also work with several on-campus entities such as AAAN, LARIS, the CHANCE program, the ACE program, the TRIO program, the Native American Support Offices, and several others. We also partner heavily with external entities. I mentioned that our history stemmed from community protests in a sense. Well, we have a community advisory council that provides support, that serves as advocates for the program. Over the years, that community advisory council reached like a who's who's list in the civic and educational community. For example, the person that chaired the community advisory council the longest for 15 years served as chairman of this board of trustees, the legendary Earl Neal. We recently celebrated our 30th anniversary, and his widow came and indicated of all the work that he was involved in throughout his legendary career, that the urban health program was the work that he was most proudest of. And so it goes on and on. Our co-chairs of the community advisory council is Dr. Linda Murray. She recently was elected as president of the American Public Health Association. Dr. Arturo Machaca is a noted surgeon who's earned all three or four of his degrees here at the University of Illinois, who grew up in the Pilsen area. Our staff is involved in every health-related task force in the city in one form or another. So we're very proud of our community involvement as well. This slide is a snapshot that demonstrates the effectiveness of UHP, particularly over the past 10 years. In that time, UHP students, that is African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans enrolled in the health sciences, comprised over 16% of the health sciences students in the U of I system. Most notably, if you look at the colleges of applied health sciences, public health, and medicine, they represent 20% of the enrollment there, minority students. Of course, we're very concerned with outcomes. Nearly 15% of all healthcare professionals and research degrees awarded during the period, 10 years period, were awarded to urban health program students. Most notably, 20% were awarded in the colleges of public health and medicine. This is a slide that's very important. It shows the degrees that's been awarded to urban health programs from the inception of the program to 2009. It is important to note that we have been gaining momentum over the years. If you look at the first 20 years, we graduated from 1975 to 1995, 2,200 UHP students. Over the past 14 years, we've graduated nearly 3,000. This gives us more than 5,000 UHP graduates since the program started over 30 years ago. So what is the results of all this? Are we addressing the healthcare disparities in our urban communities like the legislature mandated when we started? Well, the research certainly says that we are. If not directly, then certainly indirectly. We know that minority healthcare professionals are more than 2.5 times more likely to establish practices in communities that most need them. We estimate that nearly 70% of the urban health program alumni